Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Startup Radio on this Monday, September 24th at 3 p.m. Central, which is our regular broadcast time. And of course, you can always listen to Startup Radio afterwards by going to startupradio.com, listening to the episodes that are available online. We're also available through iTunes Podcasts. And as I should be doing always, but don't always do, I'd like to thank Diana Rain for use of her music with our intro. And today's a very exciting day because we have Edwin Hermelon to talk about Unsubscribe Deals, their startup with Leah Pish on Unsubscribe Deals. And if you've ever received too many deal emails or emails coming through, then I think you'll be wanting to listen to what Edwin has to say with us here today. And from the East Coast, I'd like to welcome Edwin. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Edwin, your better half is not with us today, but you both are business partners, and I hope you don't mind me referring to Leah as your better half. I always refer to Catherine, my wife, as my better half. It's the safest way to proceed in that regard. But you and Leah have come up with Unsubscribe Deals, and it's kind of the antithesis to all of these deal startups, the daily deal startups. Can you tell me and the listeners, how did you come across such an approach? Many people would seem to be wanting to get on the bandwagon with daily deals emails, and it seems that Unsubscribe Deals is helping people jump off of the same bandwagon.
We came up with the idea really because me and Leah sort of put our two of the things that we do best together. And so I was a former attorney, some people might say a recovering attorney. And so to me, email is sacred, because when I was practicing, the minute I got an email in from a client or the minute my BlackBerry buzzed, I was on it. And I always responded. I responded very quickly. It was just the nature of the business. Leigh and I also happened to like Groupon and Living Social and those daily deals, because it's at the beginning, it was very nice. Like you pay $5 for an Amazon gift card that's worth $10. And it was really useful at the beginning. And so we all, both of us, sort of signed on. Leah signed on for a lot. And then after a while, the deals just, they weren't as good anymore. But the emails started to come in more and more frequently. And so the emails went from being something like maybe once a day, maybe twice a day, to something like, I think one time I counted like six in one day. But the minute it would buzz sort of on my hip, my knee-jerk reaction was to pick it up and quickly respond, because I thought it was something important. But it was, you know, a deal for tanning.
Right.
Or to whiten my teeth. And one night we went to this hackathon over here in New York at Pivotal Labs, and you know, it sort of got us thinking about what we might want to do, and I got an email and from the Daily Deals, and I finally said enough is enough.
And with Unsubscribe Deals, how did you come up? I mean, it seems intuitive. How did you come up with the name? And I guess a corollary to that is, how important do you think a name is in getting a startup off the ground?
I think it really depends who you talk to. We chose the name based on what was available for a domain. We wanted something that people really, it was easy to remember, because at the time it was a side project and Unsubscribe Deals really only did one thing. And so I think for maybe something that only does one thing, it's correct to, or it's preferable to have an easy to remember name. As far as from a branding perspective, though, I joke around with my friends all the time how Google, like we joke around that because we were math guys, that Google is just 100 to the 100th power, and it never meant anything to anybody. Until all of a sudden one day Google became, you know, the grandmaster of the internet.
Right.
And it acquired on this whole new meaning besides 100 to the 100th power.
How has the response been to Unsubscribe Deals? How have people responded to being able to use your services?
The response has been, it's been tremendous. We started off at first as a side project, and then I remember after launching, I got an email from a friend that back in college, we weren't even friends on Facebook, and all of a sudden I saw a message like through someone else's feed that was saying, I just deleted all my daily deals with Unsubscribe Deals. And it's someone I hadn't talked to in 4 years, like 4 or 5 years. I wasn't even their Facebook friend. We weren't even in contact on Twitter, and it just blew me away. And people have been, like, people emailed us saying, like, thank God, Groupon stop. They've sent us really funny. We have a section about daily deal stories. Sometimes Wayne and I like to read them before we go to sleep. They're kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah. Well, let me, now you, since you have two businesses going on, you also have signature pages. You have Unsubscribe Deals. And Unsubscribe Deals was featured this past July in Fast Company, or it can be seen on online, the article, like Sonny and Cher with more Google Analytics. how did the Fast Company article come about? If you know.
To be honest, I'm not really sure. Because I actually don't remember us writing the Fast Company, but I think someone forwarded us on. It's sort of been like a whirlwind, to be really honest with you, because someone wrote about us also in an Italian magazine, because Leia is Italian, and we didn't even know that the article was coming out, and all of a sudden Leia comes from a small town in Italy. She comes from a very small town in Italy, and we were just talking, and someone started following her sister, like this past weekend, following her to the supermarket, and like around the aisle.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah. And finally, like, her sister stopped her, and I was like, can I help you? Like, why are you following me? And the lady was like, hey, are you the girl that they wrote about in the magazine from America, right?
Oh, jeez.
And it took her sister a second. She's like, no, that's my sister. And so sometimes it sort of comes around, things get, you know, whirled around. We don't even know how it comes about. We're just really glad that they even took the time out to consider us, to talk about us, really.
Well, how does the service work? So how does, if I want to rid myself, my email box, of these daily deal emails from whatever company they might come from. How does one use the service? Is it difficult to use? Do they need to get access to all of your email accounts? How does it work?
It's really easy, actually. You go on our website. You punch in your email address. Right now, we only support Google and Yahoo because we're working on integrating more services, but those were the two big providers. And so as long as you have Google or Yahoo, you just punch in your email, you punch in your password, we send you through a Google or a Yahoo portal. And then we tell you automatically, you pull up a list, you are subscribed to whichever daily deals you're subscribed to.
Hmm.
And if you want to keep the daily deals, so say, for example, you want to get, it pulls up and it says, you are subscribed to Groupon and Lifebooker, but you actually kind of like Lifebooker, then you unselect Lifebooker. You know, you could keep the deals you want, so you unselect Lifebooker. You hit this big red unsubscribe button, and we just take care of the rest.
Interesting. And how many daily deal sites are there out there? Do you know, or do you have any kind of range?
It is something I can't even tell you. It's something in the hundreds.
No kidding. I didn't even think it was. That's way more than I had thought. Do you think, what has been their reaction? Have you heard anything from the Groupons of the world in response to unsubscribed deals?
We know that there's some daily deal providers that actively monitor us. We know only because we see them on our site. We see them using our services. And so we know there's some that actively monitor us. The reception, not surprisingly, has not been so wonderful from them, because after the initial response, we were trying to think of ways to actually monetize and maybe work together with the daily deals to help with their retention. Since we were unsubscribing, we were trying to figure out a way, maybe there's a way we could help out these daily deal guys. And when we reached out, the response was a bit cold.
Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, you hear a lot about the daily deals coming through the email, and as you've mentioned, some of them might be worthwhile coupons, and others may not, or they may not be targeted to you or me specifically, or things that we'd be looking at. But it's definitely, I mean, it seems a worthwhile service. And it's interesting, though, that the daily deals economy, so to speak, has fed into the unsubscribed deals opportunity, and it's a balance. Do you get much feedback from the customers? Do you get many comments from them?
We get most of our comments. It's mostly like when we first launched, we only supported Gmail. And so we got a lot of comments, please support Yahoo and Hotmail. And so we get these sort of comments like additional support for other services. Like at first, I don't think we supported KGB deals or something. And then we started getting responses, please stop KGB deals. they're pounding at my inbox. And so we get a lot of that sort of feedback. Other than that, we just try to listen to whatever they say. We try to listen because that's the name of the game. Because we think something, but ultimately we're serving someone else. And so whatever they say trumps whatever we think.
Right. Well, now, you were, as you said, a recovering attorney, or as some people might refer, a recovering attorney. You were, I'm sure you're still licensed, probably, but you were practicing law. You're not practicing law per se anymore. What attracted you to the startup community? What made the impetus for you to shift from practicing law to where you are now?
It was really when I started my first company, Signature Pages, that's what really drove me to the startup world. It was really just because I practiced law for about 2 years before I stepped away, and there were just so many things that were unnecessary that I would have to stay late doing, i.e. Signature Pages. So for those listeners who aren't familiar, Signature Pages are the pages that you have to sign at the end of a contract. But what most people don't realize is that when law firms handle a deal, there's actually a physical human being who creates all those pages, and then as they come in, it's actually a physical human being that keeps track of all of them. And I would spend hours, just hours, hours, the first, 6 to 8 months when I was at the law firm, just doing it. And I just kept thinking, there has to be a better way, there has to be a better way. And that's when I started to get interested in the startup world, because that was the better way.
Right. And to stop you for a moment, I mean, for those that that may sign a contract where it's just, two parties signing a 2 or 3 page contract or something, when you're talking about the signature, and even though that would arguably be a signature page, when you're talking about the signature pages of contracts and keeping track of all these, I imagine that you're also talking about more complex contracts that might have multiple people signing the contract. Is that correct?
Oh, of course. We're talking about more of a situation where I was involved with a lot of banking and financing. And so it'd be something like a loan being provided by 6-7 banks, and there would be 20 documents. And it's more of a situation like that.
Right.
Where things are getting hairy because of all the people involved and all the documents involved. But two-party transactions, thankfully, are... I wish I had more of those.
Yeah, sure. So
I might still be practicing law if that were the case.
Well, fortunately for you, though, it wasn't, and you came up with the idea of signature pages, and so that idea or that need for a better solution gave birth to your idea of signature pages. And was it an abrupt change and from going from law to creating signature pages, or was there some overlap while that occurred?
There was a bit of overlap. I played around with the idea a lot while I was actually in the law firm. I played around with the idea a lot just in my head when I was at the law firm. And then there was one deal I did with a private equity client, which ended up being very large. Like, it was something like 50 documents in the deal, multiple parties. And the private equity person was like, all right, we're going to have Fund 4 sign all the documents. And so, like a diligent associate, I drafted them all up and I collected all the signatures. And then all of a sudden on Friday, they call and they're like, actually, Fund 5 is going to sign. And I just wanted to pull out all my hair.
Sure, I can understand that.
And so I ended up pulling out all these pages. There was literally, like, if I could describe the conference room, it looked like there was just confetti everywhere on the floor because there's so many pages. And after that, I said, that's enough.
Like, right.
That's enough of that. And then, I left the law firm. I took what savings I had and I started Signature Pages.
And then that was about June of last year, I think, where you departed the firm. Now, when did you start Unsubscribed Deals?
Me and Leia started Unsubscribed Deals about May of this year, about early May of this year. And then we thought of the idea about early May of this year, and we actually launched around the end of May. I think the date is May 27th.
Okay.
I'd have to check the servers, but I think we went live May 27th.
Now, as Signature Pages was beginning, did you know Leia at that time?
Yeah, Leia was the big supporter. She's actually, without her, I would have probably never done Signature Pages, because she was the one who I would come home late at night from doing Signature Pages or from doing something else, and I would say things like, man, there has to be a better way. And she's like, well, if you know a better way, then do it.
Sure.
She was the one, like I'm sure your wife, she was really the one that provide the emotional support to really go ahead and jump headfirst into it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I started my law firm in 2001. We moved from Connecticut back to the Chicago area just before 9/11, and you know, I was looking around for jobs similar to the one that I had on the East Coast, with working with a mid-size firm. And then nobody was hiring after September 11th. Just nothing was really going on, but yet I still had bills coming in and the need to take care of things. So, you know, I started my practice more to keep the cobwebs from forming in my mind and so forth while I was looking for a job. But then with Catherine's support, as you mentioned, or allude to, with her support, then the firm kind of started taking off, and I said, well, maybe we can make a go at it. But had it not been for her support in doing that, I am with you in that regard. It wouldn't have happened, because I would have been looking for that other firm job that I had had before. And it is amazing. Well, I guess it's not amazing how integral women are to the success of men, but it's good of us to appreciate that and not forget it. So then Leia was supportive of Signature Pages, and then that's when the two of you together went to a hackathon, came up with Unsubscribed Deals, and now the two of you are partners in this startup. And how is that working for the two of you? So if the listeners haven't picked up on it, the two of you are partners in life at the moment, as well as business partners, correct?
Absolutely. She makes everything work. Like, I'll be fair. I handle a lot of the external relations, but really what keeps the clock ticking for Unsubscribed Deals is Leia. It works out fantastic. Well, there's a good and a bad. It's more good than bad. The bad, of course, is that work always follows you to bed.
Right.
You know, and so if we said that we were going to finish the feature, you know, at the end of the week, and it's Thursday, and we haven't finished the feature, then I'm going to hear about it before we go to bed.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right?
Absolutely, yes. But as you said before, I mean, the benefit then, of course, is the support that, you know, you're in it together, you know, the ups and the downs and the so forth. But yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, and that it's not something that you necessarily leave at the office when you come home. But at the same time, the excitement, the success, I mean, having you know, been featured in Mashable, Fast Company, and just the response that Unsubscribed Deals is getting is, I can imagine, only that much more rewarding that it's the two of you working together.
Oh, it's amazing. We had an article come out about Unsubscribed Deals in the New York Times recently, and we were blessed enough to draw their attention. But it was amazing to be able to share that with her. Because successes are nice. They're a nice thing, but at the end of the day, it's really relationships that make everything worthwhile. You have success so that you could support your relationships and what you really like to do. And it was wonderful just to be able to share that with her. And she was god awful happy, which made me god awful happy.
Right.
And it's just wonderful. Like, you see her smile, and it's awesome. It's really awesome.
So what, you know, talking about the fact that we talked a little bit about the good, you mentioned some of one of the negatives is that, you know, work follows you, you know, outside of the office and so forth. What would you say are some of the drawbacks or the obstacles that the two of you have had to overcome in the startup, whether it be with you and both Signature Pages and Unsubscribed Deals, or you and Leah together in Unsubscribed Deals? What are some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome and that you've learned from?
I think a lot of the obstacles are persistent, like just keeping persistent about everything. It's just because sometimes some of the problems with startups are that things don't start up.
Yeah.
Like you're looking for, you want to do this awesome thing, but if you're not an engineer, it's not happening. You know, like if you don't know Python or Django or one of the other languages, you have to rely on someone, and you have to find a way. And so sometimes there are ups and downs with that. But you have to just keep strong and keep looking. If you need an engineer, you have to keep looking. And you have to keep your head up. And the way we've overcome that is really just staying positive. Keeping each other incredibly positive and having someone to do that with you is invaluable. Like some mornings we would wake up and I might be upset because for a long time Signature Pages, we didn't have an engineer on board for Signature Pages. So for a long time I just had this, really is just a PowerPoint like presentation. It's just the whole
right.
Screen. And I didn't have anybody able to link it up, and I would wake up in the morning, and I would be like, man, is this ever going to happen? Like, am I ever going to be able to do this? But she was the one who was really like, you could do it. Like, you could do it. And I started learning Rails. I started learning Python. And slowly but surely, eventually I didn't end up programming it out, but because I knew Rails and Python, I started meeting more engineers, like more and more engineers because I spoke their language, and which led me to eventually the engineer that we used on the project. And it's just keeping positive and just keeping persistent.
Right.
Is the key, because things never come on schedule.
Isn't that the truth? Well, yeah, I mean, I think positive... staying positive, keeping persistent is a key throughout not only startups, but just generally operating a business. Because if you don't have that, it is hard to keep moving. moving forward. Now, how many are on your team now? Is it just the two of you, or you have an engineer now? How big have you grown?
We have, it's the two of us, that's one, two. We have an engineer, that's three, and a part-time designer, so it's four of us.
And do you all work in the same facility, or how does that work?
Me and Leia are over here in New York. Our engineer is over in the Eastern Bloc. He's in Belarus, and our designer is actually in Poland. And so we work. It's interesting because we're up at almost all hours because there's 6-hour time difference between us and Belarus.
Yeah.
So we might be up really, really early, having conversations with our engineer or our designer, how we want things to look and feel and whatnot.
Well, how do you, I imagine that that's unique, and I think that although there's, you know, some of the startups, some of the individuals that I've spoken to may have some similarity in that regard, it is unique having your part of your team, in fact, half of your team, away, not only in a different city, but in a different country. And beyond the hours, how have you found that to work? Is that, does it take more effort to coordinate between all of the different time zones and so forth and making sure that each party is getting the deliverables on time, or is it, you know, is that not so much an issue?
It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort in the way that you have to be really organized. Because what, for example, if our designer was here, if we need something changed, like a quick back and forth, then it might take, you know, 10, 15 minutes to explain something if he couldn't get it right the first time. But because there's a 6-hour time difference, a back and forth is 2 days.
Yeah.
So it's a big, and the way we sort of manage the situation really is to, we're religious about our task manager. So we manage everything on Asana. We're really on top of everything in our documentation. We're very detailed in our documentation, and we always make sure to be awake when they're going over it and not only talk it through, but share screens with them, either our screen or their screen, and really flesh out while they're there how we want it to feel and how we want it to look. And it's something that we spend a lot of time up front, but it ends up paying off a lot.
That's very interesting. And do these individuals that work with you from Belarus, and I think you said Poland, are they full-time on board, or do they have other projects as well?
Our designer is sort of moonlighting. He works for a design shop in Poland. Our engineer is full-time with us between the projects that we have. And so we're on GChat and Asana and, you know, all those sort of chat bots all day, almost, or not all day, but all morning with him.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it sounds fascinating, and it just demonstrates how small the world really has become. What are some of the recommendations that you would have to individuals that are thinking about, you know, their startup or being an entrepreneur? You know, last week I went to a class at DePaul University here in Chicago to talk to some students on non-disclosure agreements and business entity formation. But And they have all their ideas, and I'm sure there are many more people that wake up or that may be at a job right now listening or come across this that says, there is a better way, I've got to figure that out. What would you tell those individuals that are thinking about moving in the startup direction? What a piece of advice would you have for them?
Whatever your budget is, probably double or triple it. And have a really good schedule of payment. I say that only because when we first started, when I first started Signature Pages, there's a lot of noise in the people that you hire. And so there are a lot of people who, when I first started, would say, oh, you want to do this type of program? Basically, Signature Pages is a form generator backed by a tracker, by a document tracker. And so I tell that to people, and I show them the prototype, and they're like, oh, you want this done? Oh, it'll be like $5,000-$10,000 tops. And I would go out and be like, all right, cool, $5,000-$10,000, you know? But I got burned. You know, the first programmer I ever hired, he said, yeah, I can do it, and he was in over his head, and he, you know, I never got any deliverables, and he wanted half up front and half at the end, which when you're not in the game, like when it's your first startup, it sounds like a reasonable payment schedule to you, but it's not because you don't know them and they don't know you.
Right. So how do you get around that?
And so what we've done is we thought about it a lot, and I actually have a friend who does a lot of construction, which is basically, the dynamic is very similar to construction. And so when I would draft up his contracts and I would draft up his payment schedules, the worry is that the contractor's worried that you're not going to pay, which is a legitimate worry if your project is big. You're worried that they're not going to perform. And so the balance I ended up striking is that we don't pay fixed fee because we generally don't know how long the project is, or we know, but it's hard to write a really detailed spec sheet, like as an attorney, trying to figure out every nook and cranny that can go wrong. You'll end up with 100-page document.
Right, sure.
And so what we do is that we pay people by the hour. We ask around how long the project might take, and we get a couple quotes from people, and you know, soon enough we'll get the sense like, okay, this project will take 100 hours to do. And so what we'll do is for example, a designer, we'll give a program to the designer. We'll tell him, look, I've asked around. It should take about 100 hours to do it. The market, your rate is $65. Today's rate is $65. We'll say, look, I'll pay you $100, or I'll pay you $65 for 100 hours. We'll buy that block of time. And then anything after that, we realize that the project might go over. And anything after that, we're going to pay you at cost. So cost might be $18 an hour. And so that way, even if the project goes over, you know, they're a little bit, they're unhappy, of course, because they're not getting paid their rate. But they're not furious because they're working for free. And then the other sort of kicker that we add on to it is that we keep a 20% retainage every time. And that gets paid out at the very, very end. So if 1 week I owe you $1,000, I'll keep a 20% retainage. And so I'll only pay out $800. And I'll keep $200, and the retainage gets released only at the very end of the project. And so because the devil really is in the details. And so you know, they might do get 80% of the project right, but 80% isn't good enough. You need the button to be exactly where you want it to be. You need the font exactly how you like it. And so then that motivates them to really polish off the job.
Right.
And so that's really, I wish someone told me that at the beginning, because working at the law firm, I learned a lot about contracts. I learned about contracts and dealing with large corporations. But when you're starting up, you don't, it's like a jungle.
Right.
You don't know what you're going to get.
No, and I completely appreciate that, particularly when, you know, you're dealing with people that you're not meeting in person. But then even when you are dealing with people that you're meeting in person, I think that's very, very sound advice. Now, before we get to some questions here in a few minutes, I was wanting to, let's go back, and for those that are interested in unsubscribe deals, you're doing Google and Yahoo. Are you going to expand? Are there plans to expand into other domains?
There are plans to expand into Hotmail. We're actually planning on expanding into email management in general. And so we're planning on helping, I can't talk too much about it, but we're planning on helping people get more sanity with their inbox, basically get more work done instead of having all these emails ping them all the time and disrupt them while they're doing work. We're trying to get a project so that you could actually get some work done.
Well, I will be looking forward to hearing more about that, and perhaps when you launch that, we can have you back on and talk about that feature, because I certainly know that my inbox could use some help in being managed and so forth. So I will look for that. If somebody is interested right now that has Google, Yahoo, and they have had too many daily deals, emails, or they just want to manage them, how do they get to unsubscribe deals? Where do they go for your service?
You go to unsubscribedeals.com. It's just like the name sounds. Unsubscribe deals. You punch in your email address. Everything is 100% secure. We're SSL encrypted throughout the entire stack. You authenticate with your Google or your Yahoo password. We don't do that at all. Everything is run through Yahoo, through official Yahoo and Google APIs, and so we don't see any of that private information. And then you tell us what you want and what you don't want, and we clean your inbox.
Sounds good. And if somebody is listening and is interested in signature pages, where would they go for that?
They would go to signaturepages.com. There's a invitation request, and then they go on, they request the invitation, and we get on. There's actually, Leah actually has a startup of her own as well. She's been in the restaurant industry for a very long time, and she has one called Run Order. That's runorder.com. And basically what it does is that it helps restaurants find new food distributors.
No kidding.
It's actually a lot harder than you think to find good food purveyors. They aren't on the internet, and it came out of right now. Leah is working at a pizzeria. So Leah is working at a pizzeria, and 1 week, the guy just didn't deliver mozzarella. But for a pizzeria, like for a normal restaurant, you don't deliver mozzarella. That's short one appetizer.
Right.
For a pizzeria, you don't deliver the mozzarella.
You're in trouble.
You might as well stick a knife in it. You're done. And so they were scrambling all around trying to find new food distributors. And the traditional way is to ask your neighbor, like, oh, what food distributors do you use? But when your neighbor is a Chinese food restaurant,
Right.
It's a little bit harder. And so she's really helping restaurants find food distributors, find the best ingredients for what they need and the best service.
And that's runorder.com?
That's runorder, RUNORDER.com. It's a pretty funny video, too.
Yeah, indeed. And what's interesting is you have a startup emanating or, you know, related to your career as an attorney. She has one related to her experience in the restaurant industry, and you both have unsubscribed deals, which is just it's fantastic. So I look forward to hearing from you on each of those three in the future. And we do have time for a couple questions. To begin with, we have Mark from Chicago. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I know right now that you have your two startups going on at the same time. Have you found that either advantageous or some uphill battles doing that? Do you feel like I should be focusing more time on this one project as opposed to the other? How do you go about, you know, managing that?
I actually find it really advantageous. I'll tell you why. We have a full-time designer, or not full-time designer, I'm sorry, a full-time engineer. And if I just had signature pages, I wouldn't have enough hours to fill up his time, to take up all his time. But because we have multiple ones, it got to the point where we took up all his bandwidth. And at one point, we just, you know, we got on a call in the morning with him and we're like, hey, what other projects are you working on? And he said, just your project. And we said, well, why don't we just buy up all your time? And having a dedicated engineer for that does incredible things. It makes life so much easier. But from just a general project management point of view, if, like, a lot of startup people know that you're not busy all the time. I've yet to see a startup person who is literally busy every moment of every day. It's sort of like it sprints and then stops, and then sprints and then stops. And so it's nice. Like, when one slows down, we work, you know, we have something else to work on, and it creates a steady pace, which keeps everything sharp.
Very interesting. Mark, do you have a follow-up?
Well, I guess my follow-up is with people getting into the startup industry, do you think that they should go about it with, well, I have two projects right now and it's advantageous, go about it, you know, doing two or more at one time, because we all know sometimes things pivot. Do you think that's a good way for somebody who's getting into the startup industry?
It depends. Are you an engineer or are you non-technical?
I'm an attorney and engineer.
I wish I was you. that might have helped out my development a lot. let me make sure I understand your question. So you're saying whether it would be advantageous to you to be working on two projects because you might be able to pivot?
Well, I know sometimes people end up pivoting their startup, but if they go into it with, well, I have these two ideas instead of maybe focusing on one, do you think that's worthy since of the, you know, the advantages you have of having two startups at going at the same time, basically?
So another way of looking at it is, are you saying that is it advantageous to, if you're debating between starting a startup and you have two ideas, rather than decide to go with one, to go with two, given the fact that Edwin had said that having the multiple projects came into or was advantageous in some respects. And then that way, rather than having one and later pivoting, you've already got the two startups running at the same time. Is that kind of a summary of your question?
Yes.
I'll be honest, if I was an engineer, I would not. I would probably start with one, and then if another one flowed naturally, I would do it. Because the load on engineers is a bit different from the load on me. So, for example, like with signature pages, I'll do a lot of biz dev. I'll be emailing, I'll be calling people. And then after I do an initial sprint and I work on some product, it's a lot of waiting. Whereas if I was an engineer and I was initially developing a product, I feel like when you initially develop a product, you need to really focus on that product or else you'll never get it done. I think that's the real problem in the startup world. People that have an idea, but then they have another idea, and it's almost like ADD, and the ideas never get done.
Right.
It's not a good or a bad thing. It's just what happens.
And I think from what you described, it's not as though you started. You didn't start Unsubscribed Deals and Signature Pages at the same time. You know, you had Signature Pages, started that. Leah had hers, runorder.com. And then the two of you working independently and together and supporting one another on your two projects. And then, lo and behold, Unsubscribed Deals comes out of that naturally, rather than as its own separate startup, rather than having two ideas at once.
Right. I think it's really important. I've seen a lot of. My main gripe with the, or not my main gripe, the thing I hate to see in the startup world are people with ideas, but then they walk away from the idea and they start another idea before they even legitimately put out a product. And so they get sort of ADD and, you know, at the end of 6 months, they had all these great ideas and they had zero products to show for
it. Right.
And so I almost think it's better to start with one thing, focus on it, even have it fail, you know, have it fail and then start another one. And
right.
It's fine. It's much better that way than to never have done anything at all or never put out anything at all.
Well said. Well said. Thank you for your question, Mark. And we have time for one more question, and that would be from Stephanie. Stephanie, go ahead.
Hi there. I had a question about the business model of Unsubscribed Deals. How are you making money?
We're making money right now we unsubscribe people from all their daily deals. And then if they want to, we will send them a daily or a weekly roll-up of daily deals according to what they like. So, for example, if you're in New York and you just like spa deals, you tell us, look, I like spa deals, this is the zip code I'm in, it works like Yipit, basically. And as long as if someone ends up purchasing a deal off of that email, then we make a commission.
Mm.
We're starting to sort of step away from that a little bit. We made a good amount doing that, but we're starting to step away because, to be very frank, Groupon and Living Social stopped giving out affiliate codes, and so no aggregator can survive without Groupon Living Social. Just very honestly, they, for all the flack they get, they still have the best deal. And so if someone buys a Groupon or Living Social from us, we don't make any money. And there's a lot of people that we don't make a lot of, like, any money off of. But we're starting to move more towards email management at this point.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Stephanie, for your question, and thank you, Edwin, for your answers and discussion. It's been very enlightening, and anybody that's interested in learning more about unsubscribed deals, go to unsubscribedeals.com. We've also talked today about Signature Pages and Run Order at their various at their respective sites. You've been listening to Edwin Hermelin from Unsubscribed Deals and Signature Pages on Startup Radio. Next week, October 1st, we will have a guest to talk about landmines, Robin Hibbs Rosenberg from Red Lotus Technologies, and how they're using the iPhone to find landmines in Sri Lanka and other locations. So please stay tuned for next week. Edwin, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to and appearing on Startup Radio. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. Really, thank you for having me.
Anytime. Well, this is it for another show of Startup Radio. I wish you all the best until next week. Please remember, startupradio.com. You're able to listen to the show live Mondays at 3 p.m. or listen other times at your convenience at startupradio.com and also through iTunes. Thanks again to Diana Rain for the use of her music. And you can follow us at Facebook, Startup Radio, Twitter on Startup Radio, and our own blog on startupradio.com. I wish you all the best and have a great day.